It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't really want to talk about it now. I think it's important to just keep the eyes on. You know, I'll answer that later. It's not anything special, but I just think we just want a big freaking game in, you know, against New York Jets, new quarterback, new freaking weapons, new freaking players on our side of the ball. Big win. I can't really focus on anything else but that.
That was Cam Hayward after the Steelers beat the Jets 34-32, saying, "Yeah, I will talk about the contract stuff, but I don't want to talk about the contract stuff right now because I'm going to use the word freaking a lot talking about all our new guys." And I thought that Cam handled that well after the game. You don't want to answer the question there. You don't want to take the spotlight off of what your team was able to do to jump out to a 1-0 start. Just prior to kickoff, though, we found out that Hayward got an incentive-laden deal upwards of about $3.2 million, and we heard it was tied to performance and the team's playoff performance. However, we didn't have any details until yesterday. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, he does a great job getting details on contracts and stuff like this all the time, and here's the deets, Doran Dickerson. Here's the deets, Nicholas Harry Callis. Here's the deets, adoring fans, and our ratings are through the roof. Thank you very much. Cam Hayward will make $1.6 million this year if he has 8 sacks and the Steelers make the playoffs. Cam will make another $1.6 million if he has 11.5 sacks and the Steelers win a playoff game. So here's some context. The Steelers haven't won a playoff game, as we well know, in 8 years. Cam Hayward had 8 sacks last season, but has not had more than 8 sacks since 2022, and we know that Cam did not have a sack in game 1, so he has 16 games now to get to that 8 sack mark. If he does and the Steelers make the playoffs, he'll get $1.6 million. So the question I have is, was it worth it at 412-928-9370? Getting all messy.
No. I mean, sure, give me, I mean, nobody will turn down $1.6 million if you do hit those numbers, but for what that was put into him holding in and taking this long and, you know, creating such a really disaster outside of the Steelers organization and maybe inside too, we don't know, but, you know, potentially ruining a legacy, all those things that you put on the line that, you know, for $1.6 million, I don't think that was worth it at all. No.
I don't think so either. I feel like this is the kind of thing that could have been handled behind closed doors.
That too.
And I've thought for a while that the Steelers leaked all this. I don't really see the benefit to either side having leaked it. Now, the Steelers, I guess, put some pressure on Cam Hayward by leaking it to Adam Schefter, or Cam Hayward would try to put pressure on the Steelers by leaking it to Adam Schefter. I don't know. The fact that this all became public and there's zero guaranteed dollars here, and the most that Cam could possibly recoup is $3.2 million, just doesn't seem worth it at all. And I don't think it's very likely he gets the $3.2 million. They ain't won a playoff game in 8 years.
And 11 sacks.
He hadn't had 11.5 sacks in a season since 2017. He had 12.
So basically they're saying that he would have to be all pro again this year in order to get $3.7 million.
If he were to make the full $3.2 million, he would need to have individually his best season since 2017.
Yes.
And the team would need to have its best season since 2016.
Yes.
His agent got worked. Worked last year, worked in this process, and I do think bygones will eventually be bygones. And I think a lot of Steelers fans may already have forgiven Cam Hayward because they won the game. They're going to be at home, terrible towels. They're a favorite to beat Seattle. You beat Seattle, you're sitting there at 2-0. I don't think anybody gives a rat's ass anymore, really. But his, I think, stellar reputation was tarnished in some way, shape, and form by this.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I generally am pro-player in any type of contract situation, I don't think he helped himself out at all when last week he talked about his family. We all understand the importance of family. And your family is your team more than your teammates are your team. That's always going to be number one. But it falls on deaf ears in a working class town when a guy who's made $140 million or whatever is saying, I need to do what's right for me and my family. Whether or not that's true doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to resonate with people.
No.
And then he winds up at most making $3.2 million, which is nothing to a guy like Cam Hayward. And it's not even guaranteed. And I think a lot of us are going, man, in an offseason that wound up being, and not even an offseason, but a mini camp, a training camp that was pretty much devoid of any kind of distractions, Cam Hayward provided the biggest storyline and for relative peanuts. It's very weird.
Well, my question is, if he does hit those incentives, or at least one of the incentives, do the Steelers, because he's going to try to sit out again, like right after the season, right? Do the Steelers give him another contract? Because clearly he had played at a high level to earn those incentives.
There was another part of this that Mike Florio brought up yesterday when he was on with the PM guys. If he plays less than 30% of the snaps, he has to give back some of that signing bonus.
Including injury?
Yes. But I don't think it's a significant portion. It was like $500,000 or something. It's all very weird.
Okay.
What did you say?
Do the Steelers give him a new contract if he plays at that level? If he hits those incentives. If he hits those incentives, he's clearly playing at a high level, right? And you know that he's going to be now going into the final year of his old deal. He's probably going to do this again. Do the Steelers pay him based off of him hitting 8 sacks and making it to the playoffs?
The Steelers are always going to have negotiations with good players when there's 1 year left on their deal. But I said this during the offseason, and I'll say it again right now. I think this is headed for a horrific divorce. I do. If Cam hits those incentives, then he'll have won a playoff game, and he'll have had a great season. He'll have had a defensive player of the year caliber-ish season if you get 11.5 sacks.
Right.
That being said, he'll then want top dollar.
Exactly.
And I don't think it's good business, even for a guy coming off of back-to-back all-pro seasons, to pay a, 38-year-old guy $30 million Chris Jones money. I think this is probably Cam Hayward's last year as a Steeler, unless he's willing to take below market value at the end of the year, even if he plays out of his mind. Like, I just, as much as you can justify paying a guy $30 million as a back-to-back All-Pro, I eventually Father Time's going to come for you, and I think you're probably not going to be willing to go that far if you're the Steelers.
1 year deal.
See, now that's where you could find the compromise.
That's where he has to understand, and I guess his agent has to understand. I don't know what their situation's like, but that's what they have to understand. Like, if he does have that good year and he wants that top dollar, it's got to be a one-year deal. You got to understand, you're going to be 38 years old at that point. You'll be 38 years old. I would be fine with a one-year deal. All right, yeah, give me there's your sweetener, really,
yeah,
right there. If you go out there and you hit those incentives this year, and you want a new contract, I would do a one-year deal.
We'll tear up the old one.
Yeah.
So he's got 1 year left. End of this season, you say, Cam, you are an all-pro again, back-to-back all-pro. Congratulations to you on all your success. We can't live without you. You're that good. However, you're an old man. 1 year, $28 million. 1 year, $30 million. Take it or leave it.
Yep.
I think that's probably the way to go. You're right.
But if he doesn't hit those incentives and says he has a media, like, does he play out the final year? Because he's still probably going to want a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does that situation look like? So I feel like it's a very tender situation heading into this offseason, regardless of either way it goes.
Yeah, I think it's probably his last year.
You don't think the last year of his contract, he's not going to be here next year?
I don't think under any circumstances he would play under the last year of the deal. Right. I guess what you're saying is if he has a mediocre season, then the compromise is, hey, Cam, like, we could cut you, or hey, Cam, we could have you play for less money. Why don't you just come back and play out the deal? Yeah. Yeah. That, I guess, could happen. I just think we're going to be in a year minus 2.5, 3 months from now, so 9 months from now or whatever, I think we're going to be in an ugly situation between Cam Hayward and the Steelers. And so the question is, how about this? Will he hit either of these incentives at 412-928-9370? And was it all worth it? Cam makes $1.6 million if he has 8 sacks and the Steelers make the playoffs. Cam gets another $1.6 million if he has 11.5 sacks and the Steelers win a playoff game. Was it worth it? 412-928-9370. Will he hit those? 412-928-9370. Is it water under the bridge for you, Steelers fans? 412-928-9370. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us at 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unless we get money for you.
What is that, John Wall?
I guess that is John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
He just retired, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dub V beat him. Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Joe Mazzulla.
Mm.
How about that?
Yep.
Cam Hayward set to make an extra $1.6 million if he has 8 sacks and the Steelers make the playoffs. Cam will get another $1.6 million if he has 11.5 sacks and the Steelers win a playoff game. Was all of this worth it at 412-928-9370? And is all forgiven? Is it all water under the bridge? 412-928-9370. We'll take your calls, texts, and tweets on this. In the meantime, man, there's some stuff going on in Ravens land that I think is worth paying attention to, Doran. Ravens corner Marlon Humphrey, really good player. After the Ravens blew a double-digit fourth quarter lead again, said yesterday, quote, "We're not going to get into a situation similar to last year where we kind of mask over this and try to do this and protect this guy, protect that guy. The guys that do it right are going to play. The guys that aren't, aren't. And it's really just that simple. I think we're just too talented of a team to continue to have those collapses kind of that we have," end quote. Look, that's a leadership kind of quote there from Marlon Humphrey, but that's the Steelers, I think, number one competition for a division championship this year. I know the Bengals won, and they don't usually win early on in the season, and they may prove to be a thorn in the side. They may prove to be a division contender as well, but I've always thought it was the Steelers and the Ravens, probably not in that order. I don't think they know what the hell they're doing and how to stop it, because it's not just schematics or anything like that. It's bad clock management.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad decision making. It's your best player in Derrick Henry putting the ball, one of your best players, putting the ball on the ground. And you go back and you look at how the Ravens have lost 17 games with double-digit leads in the fourth quarter since John Harbaugh took over. And as Mike Tomlin likes to say, it's popcorn. It's not just, oh, the defense sucks. No, it's a myriad of different reasons. I don't think they know how to figure it out. I'm over here enjoying every second of it.
Listen, I talked to somebody who played for the Ravens years ago. Not that many years ago, but a decent amount of years ago. And they said that John Harbaugh, for the last maybe a little bit less than a decade, has zero control over the football team.
Really?
Zero.
And that's not the first person that I heard say that. And I never really believed that because it seemed like, you know, he has everything under control. But they were like, he has no feel, no control, no guidance, no direction of the football team and hasn't had it in a long time. And it speaks to those issues that they keep being put in front of their face and they can't get over the hump there. So this is and then listen to Lock and Four.
Oh,
and the things that he said, he's going to have a job, but it's not going to present the rewards that they're looking for or a lot of people think that they're going to get.
I still would pick them to win the division, but I just don't think they're going to do the playoff stuff that they probably need to do for John Harbaugh to have, that was close, a high approval rating with the fan base. Like, this happens week one, and the fact that they blow this many leads
right
for a team that is predicated yep on running the football is just staggering. Staggering. So I thought that was worth mentioning. 412-928-9370 on the topic of Cam Hayward. Here's a text. No, it's not forgiven because he stunk on Sunday. Look, I don't know how many guys on the defense you can point to and say played well. I think Jalen Ramsey clearly did. The advanced analytics would point out that he did. Your eyes would tell you that he did. Alex Highsmith was credited with 8 pressures. I thought he flashed. And you did see T.J. Watt have a couple of TFLs, and they barely ran the ball to his side.
Yeah, at all.
I think that's one of the things that when you're talking analytics and you're talking about the impact on a game, does not get factored in. Like, they ran the opposite way of T.J. Watt all day long because they know T.J. Watt is that damn and good.
Yes.
And that doesn't get factored in all the analytical crap. Like, wow, Myles Garrett, all these pressures. Wow, Myles Garrett, the first PFF defensive player of the year. I mean, you see the run chart. They weren't taking T.J. Watt on at all. At all. So I think he played okay, not probably up to his standards, but they also didn't test him in the running game. Cam did not play well. And I do think based on the press conference that Cam held on Friday, he did seem, I don't think it was a distraction to the team. He did seem like his mind was elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was practicing and I know he didn't want it to affect the team. I am hopeful now that this is all under the bridge for him, that his focus will be where 100% where it needs to be now in week two, because I don't think it probably was on Sunday. 412-928-9370. Water under the bridge? 412-928-9370. The Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it wasn't a distraction. He just didn't play well, but I think it's not a reasonable leap to make that maybe his mind wasn't 100% on that game.
Yeah, I could see both ways.
But you would know better than me. I mean, professional athletes are damn good at compartmentalizing, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a distraction. I don't think it was. I don't think he thought about it. Now, maybe it was not the deal he wanted initially, but it's like, okay, like now I got to go play football. Like, time to play football. Like, it's like, put helmet on, play. And, like, everything else doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm guessing when you're playing, you're not thinking about it at all.
No, you're going to play.
You're probably not thinking about anything.
He just didn't have a great game.
Right. He needs to be better. If he is not good this year, and all that it could possibly have netted him is $3.2 million, people are going to let him hear it.
Yep.
And I think deservedly so, for creating all of that, for, you know, in at least a little bit form and fashion, tarnishing his legacy, not like full on tarnishing his legacy, but all that for a team that doesn't accomplish winning a playoff game, and for a guy who doesn't play that well, I think he's gonna hear it a little bit.
Yeah, it's all water under the bridge until the water starts to flood.
Mm-hmm.
And that has potential to happen, like even this weekend. Like, you're at home, everybody knows how you played last Sunday. You don't show up again, the water's gonna start to rise again. So I don't know. Maybe people are kind of like backing off right now, but he's got to perform, and I think he will at some point. But you got to figure it out.
I'm inclined to agree with you on that. I think he's a good enough player.
Yeah.
Takes enough care of himself that so long as he's healthy enough to play the majority of the games this year, he's going to play well. Aaron Rodgers talked about Broderick Jones yesterday, talked about the sacks. I'm really encouraged, actually, by what I heard Aaron Rodgers say. We'll get to that coming up next. Plus, Seattle walks in here, and they might be without their best defensive player. One of their best defensive players. We'll get to that coming up, too.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:35, time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-5610. Aaron Rodgers asked about being sacked four times.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I was moving that well. So I think I ran kind of into at least one or two sacks. So I got to do a better job of using my legs. You know, I might be old, but I still feel like I can move around pretty good. And I wasn't moving the way I usually like to move. So I thought the protection was good for the most of the game. There's a couple of fundamental things to clean up. But Pat's, you know, take care of those guys. And I just got to get the ball out.
I thought Aaron Rodgers was the, I'm going to throw my teammates under the bus guy, right? Isn't that what the whole talk was? The lead up to the Steelers bringing Aaron Rodgers in. Oh boy, is he a bad teammate? Right. Mm-hmm. He throws guys under the bus. I think Rodgers is critical when he needs to be critical.
For sure. And he knows that he's dealing with young players too, though. And I think he is taking on that father figure type of role. Like, I am here to give all my knowledge and my expertise to these young players, because there's going to be a point whenever they come into their own, and I'm going to be sitting in Malibu and watching them on TV because I'll be retired.
Like, yeah.
And be like, you know what? I taught them that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he really cares about that, at least this year. I think he's cared about that in his career with certain players. I'm sure Jordan Love, I mean, you asked him, and he said Aaron Rodgers was great. I'm sure that he you know, takes that upon himself to do stuff like that. But I think in this situation particularly, and we'll see if they lose games. We'll see how the reaction is. It's going to be a little bit different maybe. But I think he really does care about, like, hey, like, I want to leave all this with these young players because this is a young roster on offense and young offensive line.
He said the right things. He said the right things going all the way back to his first ever press conference at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. Like, he wants to have fun. He wants to impart his wisdom. And he also mentioned in the press conference yesterday that he has a little bit of back tightness, and that's one of the reasons he didn't move around all that well, which, back tightness, okay. It doesn't sound like a Matthew Stafford situation or anything like that.
It's a sleeping wrong. You know,
yes.
41 years
yes.
old. Oh, man, I slept wrong.
I would love to see Aaron Rodgers listed on the injury report. It just says, woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Because I think you're exactly right. He didn't move well, and I'm happy that he owned that. I also don't know that he ran into a couple of sacks. I think one, maybe.
Yep. One.
And it was partially a coverage sack, and I don't think he moved up in the pocket the way that he probably would have liked to, and I think a lack of mobility probably contributed to that. I'll tell you exactly what would have happened if the Steelers lost this game, though, man. That free play they had where he's pointing at Jonnu, if they lose the game, that's on Get Up, that's on Good Morning Football, and everyone's going, look at this, they weren't on the same page, right. And Aaron's yelling at him. That's just trying to get on the same page. I think we need to be fair in this process, and I think a lot of people locally liked what Ben would do. When Roethlisberger would come out, sometimes he would maybe go a little too far with his criticism of teammates, but I think that's just being hard on guys to get the best out of guys. I think that's what Rodgers does well, but if Rodgers is perturbed by the offensive line, he did not show that yesterday, and I think that's a hurdle that he jumped over in a lot of people's minds. Like, I know I've had some back and forth with Starkey, and I love Joe, where he says, don't give Rodgers credit for just showing up and being a good guy and doing everything we expect everybody to do. Well, I think people haven't expected that out of Aaron.
Right.
And I think people expected the first sign of trouble for Aaron maybe to throw guys under the bus. And while they won the game, there was a lot of trouble on that offensive line, and he didn't do it. And I think if we're going to point it out when it does happen, we need to point it out whenever it doesn't. And that's what I'm doing right now. As for the Seattle Seahawks injury report, so Devon Witherspoon, their best corner, he tweaked his knee with about 7 minutes to go in that 49ers game. They looked at him. He came back. He played at the end. Well, yesterday at practice, he was listed as a DNP because of that knee injury. Now, I think if you finish a game and it's a knee, you're probably going to play the next week. Like, you either have structural damage to your knee or you don't have structural damage to his knee. Now, you can hyperextend it, and there's no ligament damage.
It does have the potential to swell up.
It could swell.
I mean, the adrenaline that you're going on playing in the game, sometimes, you know, you feel it initially, and it's like, all right, I got to get back in there, and you just play on pure adrenaline. And then after that, your knee just balloons, and you're like, oh, man, like, this is not feeling that good at this point, and the stiffness and things of that nature. So I would pay close attention to that. I would. And maybe his, you know,
it's definitely noteworthy.
Yeah, maybe the swelling hasn't gone down and the stiffness hasn't gone away. So there is potential, even if you do finish a game, that that injury could re-aggravate. That's my word, re-aggravate throughout the week.
Is that a word or not?
Re-aggravated, yes.
Of course it's a word. Didn't Caboli say it's not a word?
Yes.
They have some other guys on there, too, that I would be concerned about. Ernest Jones, linebacker. There are a lot of guys on their injury report. Meanwhile, on the Steelers injury report, and we're scrolling. Joey Porter Jr. did not participate with the hamstring. Deshaun Elliott, we know, is going to be out for a couple of weeks. Calvin Anderson, offensive tackle, didn't practice with an illness. He's the guy that would be, I think, for them first up if they needed to yank Broderick Jones.
Not Pete?
I don't think Pete would be first up for them. I think they'd go with the guy they know.
They know?
Yeah.
Over the vet?
Yeah. I think. Now, at least.
Right.
Now, maybe by the bye week, if they had to bench Broderick Jones, I think they probably would go to Andrews Pete. TJ Watt, not injury related. He was a resting veteran. Derek Harmon didn't practice. I thought that you would hope, at least, that he would come back and practice in a limited capacity this week. Still a couple of days left. We will see.
Wait, did Rodgers practice? I missed that.
He did.
Okay.
Nick Herbig was limited with the hamstring. Man, that's taking forever. But you got to be careful with the hammies. And Cameron Hayward did not practice. He was a resting vet. Limited, actually, participant.
Interesting that Rodgers practiced.
Well, he's a leader. Got to stretch that back out.
I bet you that was his decision.
To practice?
Yeah.
And I like what Mike Tomlin did too, Doran. Mike Tomlin, I think it was Darius Slay who came out yesterday and said that, you know, usually they're going to get Victory Monday off. No, they came and they had a long film session with the defense, which that's the way you probably should do it regardless of circumstances week one. But the way that they played on Sunday, you got to fix a lot. And you got to fix a lot in a hurry. There was some big news over this football weekend that we haven't talked about. And now there's reason to talk about it today. And we will do just that when we come back. You can give us a ring in the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. If you missed it, Bills, Ravens, Lamar Jackson and DeAndre Hopkins celebrating in the end zone in Buffalo, got shoved in the face by a fan. Lamar Jackson then pushed the fan back with two hands. And yesterday, Jackson apologized. He said, "My apologies to him. Just chill next time. You can talk trash and stuff, but keep your hands to yourself." Now, the fan was ejected by stadium security, obviously. He has been banned from all NFL games and events, which I think is more than fair. I also don't think Lamar Jackson had to apologize.
No, but that's a professional in him.
It sure was. He could have gone farther with the fan, too.
Oh, yeah.
He could have pulled him onto the field and given him the business.
Boop, 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 boop.
And I would not have blamed Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody pushes you in the face. You don't know what's coming next. You don't know what's going to happen. The natural human reaction, someone pushes you, if you're not me, you're going to probably push back. Once you cross over the into the field of play, once you reach over the fence and you make contact with a player, anything else that happens after that, I think is fair game.
Yeah, fair game. Yeah.
There is no place for that. We saw it in, what, was it a playoff game with the Yankees last year?
Yes. Or the Mets. Mets or Yankees?
The Mookie Betts from the Dodgers reached into the stands at Yankee Stadium.
At Yankee Stadium. It was the World Series then. Club. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Those guys got banned from all.
They did.
Right.
They did. So you're right. I don't think Lamar needed to apologize. It was a professional thing to do.
Yep.
And I think if a player goes into the stands, it's probably a little bit different, but this is somebody who comes onto the or towards the playing surface and is going to put your hands on me? Hell no.
Mm-mm.
We've seen more and more of this. And I think since COVID, we've seen more and more of this.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it's a societal thing, a lack of human decency thing, but whatever it is, it's got to stop. And kudos to Lamar, I think, for being, yeah, you're right, a classy individual in the aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
412-928-9370. Anthony in Oakland's been patient for a long time. Hi, Anthony. Sorry to leave you hanging. I just saw you there.
Sorry, fellas. Listen, you know, the defense, I listen to radio around the country.
Yeah.
They're crucifying their defense in Baltimore and Buffalo. They're just blasting them. But what bothers me about the Steelers is you could tell that the Jets had focused in on that playoff game with Baltimore with a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
And the Steelers never adjusted. They just kept running the same plays over. And the players weren't good enough, but the coaching was just as horrible.
I'm with you on that.
Uh-huh. It was the same recipe, it looked
mm-hmm.
like. I mean, and that's smart on Aaron Glenn and the Jets, and obviously you have Justin Fields. It's like, all right, what's their weakness? We saw what their weakness was in January. Let's just use that game plan.
And look, Breece Hall's a really good player, and Justin Fields is a hell of an athlete, and Justin Fields played really well. But that's a far cry from Derrick Henry and mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson doing it to you. And so I would understand, of course, if Ravens fans are mad today because their defense gacked one up, and I would understand if Bills fans are ticked off that their defense gave up 40 points. But it was also an MVP going against an MVP. The Steelers, they gave up a ton of points, a ton of yards, time of possession to Justin Fields. So I don't think it's the same thing. You got to correct it before this week. Because there are good players on Seattle, obviously. But I don't look at this Seattle offense and go, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? And you're going to be at home. Shut them down. Another phone call?
Sure.
Pat Bostic going to join us at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Mike in Fort Wayne next up. Hi, Mike.
Hey, fellas. Hey, you know, the point of attack with the Steelers, I wanted to talk about the defense and just this inability year after year. Come playoff time, we get torched for 150 yards up the middle. And a guy like Benton, I don't think we have the guys. I've called in before talking about, like, Leal not being a player that we can, is built for this team. Benton's 6'4". He's kind of a long guy. A nose tackle has to be able to get leverage and get low. They got this center coming at. I just don't think he's built to play nose tackle. I think he's a defensive tackle that I'd love to see him put a couple of them in front of the A-gaps. I mean, to me, that's the solution. I've called so many times. Why don't we go to a four-man front? We've got a good, talented defensive line.
They do. I mean, they play a four-man front a ton. They'll have Highsmith and Watt and Benton and Cam. But your point is well taken with Benton at nose tackle. And Mike Tomlin was asked by our friend Chris Carter, who we'll talk to tomorrow at 8 from the Post-Gazette, have you considered moving Benton off the nose? And Tomlin said no.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you, Mike, but I don't think that they're going to change. At least not now. I mean, Tomlin seemed kind of miffed at even the suggestion.
Yeah, because of after just one game.
It is.
He'll give it some time. Mm-hmm. And then maybe that question gets asked again in, you know, a few weeks.
And maybe at that point they feel better about Y.A. Black and they start rearranging some of the roles, and you'll have Derek Harmon back from injury and maybe reevaluate at that time. All right, Pat Bostic going to join us next. It is the Thursday of Brawl Week. We've got Bill Hillgrove at about 7:45, Dave Wonstadt at 9 o'clock. Patty B going to join us next. We'll start with his evaluation of the old man quarterbacks play Aaron Rodgers from Sunday. First, though, fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.